Welcome to the Utah Women in Leadership Podcast. I'm Dr. Susan Madsen, the founding director of the Utah Women in Leadership Project at Utah State University, with the mission of strengthening the impact of Utah girls and women. Recently, UWLP, the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, and the Cox-Henderson Administration have worked together on an inspiring initiative to identify and highlight 100 Utah companies that do a great job of championing women. And as part of this podcast, I'm highlighting many of these companies or organizations on their policies, programs, and initiatives that support families and advance women. Today, we are spotlighting USANA. USANA creates high-quality nutritional products built on one simple idea. If you feed the cells in your body exactly what they need, your health will benefit. And I am pleased today to welcome two guests. First, Sheena Blauvelt, Executive Director of Human Resources, and Amy Herron, Executive Vice President of Communications. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Sheena, I would love to have you start. Please take a few minutes and introduce us to USANA. I think our listeners would enjoy learning more about what your company does and a little bit more about your employees.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you for having us. We are based here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we have about 1,900 employees globally. Here, based in Salt Lake City, we have about 900 employees just around there. We've been in business for 30 years, going on 31 years, and we are a nutritional supplement company focused on overall health and wellness, similar to that tagline that you just shared. And Amy actually has been with USANA quite a bit longer than I have. So it might make sense for Amy to give some background as well.
Oh, sure. Happy to. Yeah, I actually just celebrated my 20th anniversary this week. So I've been here for quite a while. It is such a great place to work, so many great people, and it's not unusual for people to stay with USANA that long. But I think Sheena covered most of what we do. We really do focus on science, quality, and creating nutritional products for cellular health. In fact, we like to say we're absolutely obsessed with the health of our customers' cells. We are publicly traded and based here in Salt Lake City, but we actually have 23 global markets, so customers and employees around the world. And one thing that I think is kind of interesting about our company that's relevant for today's discussion, we sell all of our products through the direct sales channel, and more than 70% of our distributors around the world are women. So they are entrepreneurs with decision-making power who are selling to women with purchasing power. And so it's really important to us that we have diverse leadership to represent our distributors and customers around the world.
Thank you for that background, both of you. Now, I would love to have you. And let's maybe, Sheena, why don't you start this one? Tell us a few of the family-friendly policies or practices that your company offers that you think are really helpful to women specifically. But as you know, anything that's helpful to women generally is helpful to men too, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we try to make all of our benefits beneficial to our male and female employees, but recognizing that we really want to support anyone who wants a career. And so we have developed many family-friendly policies. I think one of those recently, and more obviously since we are coming out of the pandemic, is our flexible work time, whether that be a condensed work schedule or working hybrid, sometimes in the office or completely remote. We offer parental leave for our families who are having children. So we offer parental leave for both the primary caregiver and the secondary caregiver. In addition to that, we offer one of our really cool benefits is what we call family time. So our employees earn vacation and sick time, but they also earn family time. And that is 2 days a year for our employees to just go spend time with their family, whether that's going to field trips or, you know, just taking a family day, whatever that might be, we give our employees 2 days a year to spend time with their families. I would say a couple. Yeah. It's a unique benefit that we haven't seen a lot of, but we recognize and our president actually is a huge proponent of encouraging employees to spend time with their families, making those memories. And so we had a lot of support in that. But one of the other really cool benefits that we came out with just this last year is a care.com membership for all of our employees. And that helps whether you have children or aging parents or, you have pets. So care.com memberships for all of our employees. And then also we match dependent care FSA contributions. So we're helping working families pay for childcare. And so those are just a couple of the things.
So what does care.com do specifically? Is that a place they can go and find help for childcare or elder care? Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So care.com, you can use this as a member of the public. We just happened to purchase the membership for our employees. And it's basically a network of providers, whether that be child care centers or nannies. You can post that you're looking for someone, or you can go on there and you can find a provider that's advertising their services. They also do safety checks on all of the providers. In addition to that, you can find people who will walk your pets or people who will run errands for you. It's a really cool program that kind of caters to every stage of life.
I'm going to have to think about that for myself. Yeah. I don't have a pet and I don't have children in the home, but you've got me intrigued a little bit with running errands and so forth.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll have to check that out. Thank you so much. Amy, what are a few other ones? And I would love, Amy, for you to add in your comments. I know you talked specifically in the application about a women in leadership program. So I would love to know more about that as well.
Sure. Yeah, I've really seen these benefits make a difference in the lives of employees here at USANA. And like Sheena said, both men and women, and men being able to help their families is beneficial to women in the workplace too. And so I love that we've offered this. So many programs like this, and especially just that flexibility. One other thing that I thought Sheena might want to add, which I guess some employers may not think of this as being beneficial to women in the workforce, but we actually have an on-site clinic here at USANA now. And I have heard from so many families here at USANA what a difference it's made, because if your child wakes up with some sniffles or, a sore throat, or even just getting routine vaccinations, those kinds of things, the clinic just makes it so much faster. You're not going through, a local Instacare or something like that. And it's really made a big difference. But Sheena, did you want to add any more to that?
I think that really is a family-friendly policy. I mean, the thought sometimes of just going to an Instacare or something, sometimes it's wait, the wait is hours and hours.
Yeah. And I can't believe I hadn't brought that up. But yes, our on-site clinic it's a benefit that our employees really enjoy. So we have a physician there who can serve as primary care physician for our employees, their spouses, and their children. It's either free or very low cost for our employees. And we also have a mental health provider on site as well. And so, so they serve families for mental health and for physical conditions. So whether it's sick or they're just needing some vaccinations, they're physical for school and things like that. It's right here on site. It's incredibly easy. And actually our physician and mental health clinician, they have great relationships with our employees. So that's actually been something that our employees have been very fond of over the last, 3 years that we've been open.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you opened it like at the beginning or right at the beginning, of the pandemic, right?
Yes, we wish we had known what was coming, but that's okay. It created a little bit of a soft opening, but it was really great through COVID as well, because our employees were able to get tested at the clinic. And so that was very helpful, especially for those who were looking to travel as well, getting those tests beforehand. So it worked out really well.
Thank you. And Amy, back to you on any other things you'd like to mention, but would love to have you, like I said, talk about that Women in Leadership program too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm trying to remember when we started the Women in Leadership program. I think probably 6 or 7 years ago. Sheena has been an amazing partner through this program. A group of female executives, we all got together and said, hey, you know, we've learned a lot. We've overcome some things and we wanted to share it. We wanted to keep ensuring that women who were interested in leadership roles had opportunities to learn, to prepare, and to also work with men in the organization. And so Sheena and our HR team put this Women in Leadership Committee together, and it's made up of women throughout the organization and male leaders as well. Our president sits on this committee. Our head of our chief leadership officer, Paul Jones, sits on this committee, and then Sheena and several executives. And we meet monthly and really look at everything from sponsorship, mentorship, bringing in really great workshops. We actually have a program where we're just trying to get people to have women to have more face time even with our leadership. So we have a breakfast series every month where different leaders in the company meet with a small group of men and women and discuss topics that I think are especially relevant to women in the workforce. And it's been really great just to get people in a room, have great face-to-face conversations, and connect on these issues. And on top of it all, they're doing some networking as well, which I think is always beneficial. And beyond that, I think Sheena has done a great job of just building out our leadership programs in general, our mentorship programs, and a lot of great workshops and things to help people grow into their roles.
Yeah, and tell me, Sheena, a little bit more about your mentoring program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thanks, Amy, for the shout out on that. So our mentorship program it's a pretty popular and robust program. It's a global program for all of our employees, and it helps on a lot of different subjects. And so it's a 6-month program where individuals can apply to the program and they indicate to us what their goals are and, you know, maybe some ideal mentors that they have in mind. And then we work as an HR team to partner them with mentors that can help them accomplish their goals. We've had hundreds of employees go through the program with really great feedback. It's open to men and women, but we have very equal representation of individuals going through the program.
And I expect you keep your eye on that, on the gender mix, like to make sure. And I would think, you know, especially in HR thinking and supporting DEI efforts, you would keep your eye on race and LGBTQ and a few others just to make sure there's some opportunities for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. It is something that we keep our eye on. If we're recognizing that maybe there's a group that's underrepresented, you know, looking at how are we advertising this? Are we making sure we're really getting the word to all groups within the organization? Mm-hmm.
And we do have a DE&I council that has been making, I think, huge strides in our company and focusing on that a lot. Women is just, you know, women in the workplace is obviously just one piece of that. But we've really have a great council and they work hand in hand with our Women in Leadership program.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you mentioning this. I can't remember if you called it an executive team of this Women in Leadership program. But having some really top leaders, and it's that group that meets once a month to strategize. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. So it's actually our entire committee that meets monthly, but that committee is made up of all of our women executives here locally, and then also top leadership, male top leadership as well. And then we actually have leaders from throughout the organization who are part of it too. So people at the manager level, at the director level, because we really want to make sure we're not looking at it just from an executive perspective. We want to know what our managers want to hear and what their employees want to talk about and address as well. So we try to kind of keep a good mix coming through the committee.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And are there other programs that you want to, I have a few other questions specifically, but want to throw it back to you. Are there any other programs that you wanted to highlight specifically?
Sure. Yeah. I think one of the things that has been most beneficial over the past several years are just the workshops and lunch and learns that we've pulled together. Again, men and women are all invited to attend, and we have a pretty good mix, I think, of people who show up, but we bring in outside experts, use internal experts to talk about, you know, internal barriers, meaning, you know, within your head about growing within your career. I've had a lot of coaching over the years that has helped me. And sometimes it's about just having an honest discussion, pointing out your own biases, your own, the barriers that you put up yourself as far as moving up in an organization. So I think those have been really beneficial. But we've also have outside experts. I think Sheena has planned one for next month that I think is very exciting. That's going to be looking at unconscious biases and helping men actually recognize how they can be more beneficial for diversity in the workplace, ensuring that voices are heard.
I think that's an important point, because oftentimes when we look at how to advance women in our organization and support, sometimes we just have women in those conversations. And I have to say that's really important sometimes, because there are safe spaces where you can talk about certain things. However, you know, helping men understand how there's more and more, I will say there's more and more men, I believe, who are interested in becoming male allies. But they often say to me when I'm speaking and doing things like, tell me more about what that looks like. I mean, how can I better serve? Sometimes you're uncomfortable. I know I've been doing a lot of work on race myself. I'm a white woman. And sometimes being an ally, you're a little uncomfortable. You don't want to say the wrong things. And so that sounds like a fun space for even men to learn and grow themselves. Yeah, I appreciate that. Any other comments about that?
So I would say that the other important piece of allyship and what the speaker is going to talk about is how women can also be allies to other women. And even, I mean, men, anyone in the organization, but women can be allies to women as well. And I think that's something that we forget about. Yes, men can be allies to us, but we can also build up other women around us as well.
Absolutely.
Amy?
And I've absolutely heard the same thing from men who I work with. They see the need, they see the value. They just are unsure of, well, what does that look like? What's appropriate? And so, you know, I would say to men who are listening right now, I have some great allies and sponsors here in at USANA. And sometimes it's just about taking the time to look around the room and say, is everyone who should be part of this discussion here? Or was there information that I heard today that might be beneficial for someone who wasn't here? And I, like I said, I have officers who I work with every day who will give me a call and say, hey, something came up in a meeting that I thought you'd want to hear. Or, hey, I want to run something by you and get your feedback. Or they pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, I need you in this meeting. I think, you know, we're talking about something that's important to you, or that you, what your voice would be important for. So sometimes it's just about that. It's about taking the time to stop and say, you know, are the right voices in the room when decisions are being made?
I appreciate that a lot. And a few other things that in this nomination form that you completed, or someone on your team completed, you know, it is important that women have a presence for other women to want to work for the company. And you submitted like this, let me see if I read it, increase the presence of women on boards. So from the top, I assume you have some women on your board of directors then, and then yes, women in the different tiers. And have you found in your experience with your female employees at any level that that's important for them and maybe for male employees to even see that presence all the way up the line?
Yes, absolutely. We do see that that is important. In fact, we'll have new employees come in and ask about, you know, the gender representation at the different levels of our organization. I think people want to see that there is opportunity for them by seeing an example at those different levels. And so we do have two females on our board of directors, two wonderful females. And actually, we have brought them in to speak to our employees, you know, just about some of the challenges they overcame as they were pursuing careers and have become very successful. And it's something that we track and we monitor at every level. We monitor the ratio of male to female at every level of the organization. And that helps us track our impact as a women in leadership committee. We want to make sure that we are having a positive effect at all the different levels.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that you're tracking that, because oftentimes if you don't track it, I mean, more and more the research is telling us that, we have to track all of these things, including compensation and all of that, to really be aware and to then make strategic decisions based on that. So thank you. So Sheena, you had mentioned in the application that you have just started a resource group for parents. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So as part of our DEI initiatives here at USANA, we have created a couple of different employee resource groups. And one of those is for parents and step parents. And they get together about once a month over a lunch period, really, and just talk to each other about what are some resources that they're using? What are some of the struggles they're encountering, and sharing advice, best tips and tricks of the parenting trade. And so it's been a great group that can get together and just talk, what's going on with your day. It's great to have someone to kind of lean on, and it creates connections outside of just that group. But it's been a great way to create some additional connections.
That's great. And I would think that parents of little children, they have issues, but also, man, if you parent teenagers these days, mental health challenges and so forth, there's a lot. And some people still, that I heard someone last week say, we don't try and get into people's lives. That's separate from work. The research is not supporting that. If you're worried about kids, it does impact your life and your work life specifically. So
I totally agree about, most employees, I think, expect today to be able to be authentic at work, to be themselves, to bring their whole selves to work. And so your family is going to impact that, the stress. If you have something going on at home, how can it not impact your work? And so I think having these types of resources, whether it's other employees to rely on or great benefits, it's just absolutely necessary today, I think, to attract really great talent and keep them.
Thank you. And one other quick note that I wanted to bring back, a topic that one of you brought up earlier as we finish up, and that is childcare. Now, you mentioned that already, but one of the things that even last week I had someone say to me, childcare is not that big of an issue here in the state of Utah. So, and then the second thing that I hear sometimes is that companies say, we don't touch that. Because there's an assumption that you have to have a full-time childcare facility if you want to help your people with childcare. Now, you don't have that, but you engage in that and try to help your employees. So any comments about those two things I brought up?
Absolutely, I have comments on it. So I'm very passionate about this. I'm very passionate because as an employer, we really believe in the whole person, whether that's health, mental, the whole holistic being of the employee. We want them to bring their best self to work. And we want to alleviate some of those challenges and barriers that individuals are facing in being their best selves at work. One of those is, and as a parent myself, I know that one of those challenges is childcare. And through the pandemic, what we found, and a lot of research shows, that childcare was hard to find. Mm. It was hard for parents to go from taking care of children and working at home to all of a sudden, the world's changing again. There weren't as many childcare providers. And financially, with inflation, prices of everything have gone up. And so what we did a great analysis, and we did find our employees were struggling with those two things. One, the cost of childcare, and two, finding childcare. And that's where helping subsidize some of the cost and also helping find care. That's why we decided to help. We did review kind of the ability to bring on an on-site childcare facility, but what we found is that we could impact a greater employee population by offering a different type of benefit. And so that's what we did. We thought a little bit outside the box and tried to figure out how can we still help our employees, But how can we help the greatest population? And so that's what we decided to do.
Thank you so much. And my last quick question is, and Amy, I'll have you start. What final advice would you give to other business owners or business leaders based on your experience with the offerings that you've talked about?
Absolutely. I think, obviously, like we talked about, these family-friendly policies and benefits, flexibility, it's honestly, I think, fundamental. It's expectations of the workforce today, both men and women. But if you have that down, I would then say take stock of what else you are doing to remain competitive. Again, removing those barriers, whether internal or external, for women in the workplace, it's going to attract the kind of talent you really need to stay relevant and competitive today. You know, I think looking around and asking those questions, are women included when and where decisions are made? Do the men in your organization understand their role in creating a workplace that empowers women and ensures diverse voices of all kinds? Do they see the value? Like you mentioned, this can't be just a group of women alone trying to sort all of this out. It really takes a commitment. And then I think one of the things that Sheena has done such a great job of, are you really offering that formal mentorship and especially informal sponsorship for women who are moving up through your leadership structure? Those would be my three takeaways for people.
Thank you. Sheena?
I think one of my top takeaways is if you want an employee to be passionate about your organization and to care about the work they do, you have to do the same for them. You have to show that you care about them as a whole person rather than just at work. I would also say, you know, echoing some of what Amy mentioned is be aware of your workforce, be aware of some of the challenges that they're facing and do what you can to alleviate some of those challenges and barriers for them. Ask them for their feedback and then act on that feedback. Oftentimes we overlook what is happening or we don't pay enough attention to what is actually happening within our workforce. And so seek their feedback and act on that feedback.
Thanks to our guests, Sheena and Amy from USANA. And thank you to our listeners for taking the time to join us today on this podcast episode hosted by the Utah Women in Leadership Project at Utah State University in partnership with Utah Public Radio, USU Extension, and the John M. Huntsman School of Business. To learn more about our research, resources, and events, please visit us at utwomen.org. And to learn more about other companies that champion women and the Inspire in Utah initiative, visit inutah.org. Thank you.